holding Wall Street to account for its role in the financial meltdown.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, should you mow your neighbor's lawn to keep your own home value from falling? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up this morning. The Dow up 97 points, about 0.7% at 12,730. The NASDAQ up 0.4%. S&P 500 up 0.7%. The U.S. private sector added 170,000 jobs last month, according to the payroll processing company ADP. Also this morning, Chrysler announced that last year it made its first annual profit since 1997. Now, both of those stories are interesting because they show us just how far we've come since the financial crisis of 2008. And here is another story that does that. Today, federal prosecutors are expected to file criminal charges against some traders from the investment bank Credit Suisse, accusing them of inflating the value of mortgage bonds back in 2008. One of those traders actually surrendered to authorities this morning. These would be some of the first high-profile criminal charges taking banks to task for alleged financial fraud. Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics joins us now live from New York, as he does each Wednesday, for more on this. Good morning, Josh.
Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Doing very well. So why has it taken so long for the government to hold people accountable?
The wheels of justice move very slowly. I think the pace is now speeding up because Obama has figured out a triangulation here. What the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street movement both have in common is they're both disgusted with the fact that there have been no prosecutions. So this is actually a really smart move heading into the election. But I think it's about more than that. A lot of the stuff that's gone on has actually taken this long to figure out.
And what's the precedent for that? I mean, if you go back to the Great Depression, if we look back to that, how long did it take for prosecutions to take place?
You know, that's really the most interesting aspect of it. People assume that 4 years have passed and the statute of limitations, and so forget it. But if you look at the Pecora Commission, Pecora generated thousands of pages of wrongdoing and things of that nature about 4 years after the actual crash of 29. And what we got as a result of that provided about 50 years of relative financial stability. We got Glass-Steagall. We got the Securities Act of 33, Securities Act of 34. So I think that that's really interesting that something that important can happen so far after the fact.
Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics. Thanks as always, Josh.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, now that the Florida primary is over, it's time to tally up the money that poured in from super PACs, those independent groups that are allowed to spend unlimited cash as long as they reveal where the money's coming from. Well, as our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports, following that money is easier said than done.
Last year, Mitt Romney's super PAC reported $1 million donation from a company called WSPAN. The trouble is, WSPAN had disappeared and no one could tell where the money came from. Bill Allison is the editorial director of the Sunlight Foundation, which promotes government transparency. He says some corporations are hard to trace.
Sometimes all you have is the lawyer or accountant who filed the paperwork. You really don't know who the interests are behind it. That's what makes it so difficult to really follow the money in this election.
Eventually, a former colleague of Mitt Romney's from Bain Capital claimed ownership of the $1 million donation.
It's very possible we'll see some more cases of it this time around.
Peter Stone covers money and politics for the Center for Public Integrity.
There are some people out there who are probably a little nervous about being publicly identified with campaigns, and we're going to have to look very hard to see if we can dig up other cases like this.
From now through Election Day, super PACs must disclose their donors every month. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
In about an hour, President Obama will outline his plans to help homeowners who owe more on their mortgages than the value of their homes. It's a problem that affects almost 30% of Americans, according to a recent survey. And often the problem can be blamed in part on a foreclosed home on your block. For more, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how big of a problem is this, David?
Well, it's a really big problem because one in every 69 homes had a foreclosure filing last year, and more than 4 million homes have been lost to foreclosures over the last 5 years. Millions of homes in the proximity of foreclosed homes are affected by this. According to one study, the average hit to a home near a foreclosed home is over $7,000 in property value. So you're going to feel it.
Well, what are you supposed to do if you're one of these people who's keeping up with your mortgage payments, but the people next door have been foreclosed on and their house is in disrepair?
Well, the first thing you got to do is find out who owns the home. If it's been foreclosed on, it still has an owner, and that's the bank. And it is the bank's responsibility to maintain that property. Although they've got such a glut of foreclosed homes, a lot of banks kind of, you know, abrogate their responsibilities. Call up a local real estate agent. Find out which bank owns the property. Call the bank. Also, organize a neighborhood watch because empty homes have a habit of drawing thieves, squatters, right, drug dealers. You want to circle your wagons as a neighborhood and make sure that you're protected.
And if the bank is not responsive, should you go so far as to actually go and take care of the property next door or down the street to try to keep the value of your home up?
I would say yes, because you're protecting your own investment. You're protecting your asset. So how much is it going to kill you to go over there and mow the lawn on the other property or get your neighbors to take turns doing that? Some people say that you should park your car in the driveway of the empty home to give the impression there's somebody there. Then the real question is, how much further do you go? Do you paint the walls? Do you put up curtains in the windows? I don't know if I'd go that far, but I would definitely take every step that I could in making sure that property didn't look abandoned.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. David, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And finally to Seattle, where you just can't win. They had a big snowstorm there back in 2008 and didn't do a very good job cleaning it up. The head of the Department of Transportation lost his job. So the city shoveled a lot of money into snow removal. And now the Atlantic magazine says Seattle might have too many snowplows. In Los Angeles, where it is not snowing now or anytime soon, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Farming, at least on a scale that feeds the country, isn't just about throwing some seeds in the ground. You need lots of money, too. Government money, sometimes.
You know, the farm safety net that my dad used and the farm safety net that my grandfather used will look totally different in 5 years.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What Nebraska wants out of the fall's election? It's the real economy. Marketplace's special election coverage next time from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.